Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Monday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. We're going to start the show off talking a little Gator basketball, coming off their big win over Georgia. We're going to be joined now by our good friend Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Morning, Shane. How are you?
Doing well. All right, Gators are sitting at 11-6 right now. It was a must-win game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Had a big lead. Believe it or not, we tried to give it up, but we found a way to win. Just give me your assessment of what you thought about the game against Georgia.
What usually happens? Let's talk football vernacular, since you know you're a football head, right?
Okay.
I know you can talk everything. I'm gigging you a little bit too. What usually happens to a team that throws four interceptions in a game?
They lose.
Right. So you turn the ball over 20 times, you're probably deserve to lose the game. Florida won the game. Florida won, and they turned it over 20 times. 4 days after, they turned it over 16 times at Arkansas and lost a game. They were 1-for-12 in the second half from the 3-point line, and still wound up winning the game. A lot of it was because Georgia was pretty inept on offense in the first half. But they're a very, very fast team. People don't know this. I mean, maybe they do. I didn't watch the game, obviously, the replay of the game. Maybe they talked about it during the broadcast. But they rank 16th in the country in pace of play. They play very, very fast. They get it and they go. Sevier Wheeler is a hell of a player for 5'10". Yeah. With 27 points. He takes it right into the teeth of a defense. He runs those guys. Katie Johnson is fast. I mean, they like the up-tempo pace. And what they also do pretty well is trap. And what Florida doesn't do very well is play against the traps. And they've just been too loose with the ball lately, Shane. I mean, they had some brutal turnovers 3 games ago against South Carolina in blowing that late lead. The Arkansas game, they didn't score down the stretch. I don't think that's a game that they probably would have that one didn't bother me as much as the South Carolina game. South Carolina game, I think they were outscored 13-1 down the stretch, okay, in the last 6.5 minutes. Arkansas game had a very similar pattern to it in that they're outscored 14-2 down the stretch after taking their first lead of the game. South Carolina game, they're up 6 with 6.5 minutes left to go and score 2 points. Can't do that, especially at home, against a team like South Carolina very much. So the Georgia game had a kind of similar feel to it. You're up 15. They're up 17 in the second half. They're coasting, like 9-15. They're up 15 at the under 4 timeout, the last media timeout. And then boom, 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 you start giving the ball away. And next thing you know, it's a 6-point game and Georgia has the ball. So ball security, taking better shots. Right now, they don't share the ball very well, and sometimes they seem a little selfish to me. In some of the habits that I think pop up as far as shot selection and failure to throw maybe an extra pass or two. I think Castleton can give the ball up in the post. I think he was holding it too long, a little too long yesterday. He had 4 turnovers. Tyree Appleby had 5 turnovers trying to dribble through double teams. Some lack of awareness where guys are in passing lanes. It's not good enough. And you can chalk some of it up, to the COVID pause, but not totally, because they did it against South Carolina before the COVID pause. But it's just, I don't know, man. It's been just a really weird season. They played 3 games in the month of February. What is today? February 22nd. They played 3 wow. games this month. They got 3 games left in the regular season, probably a 4th if the SEC adds one of the 3 COVID games that they lost, but that's not a guarantee. It's but right now, you started off this segment by saying they're 11-6, they're 7-5 in the league. Right now, they're safely in the NCAA tournament field, I believe. But there's still work to do. Chicken on the bone, as they say. Three regular season games to go, maybe a fourth, like I said, in the SEC tournament. A lot can happen in that time, and that goes both ways, good and bad.
Yeah, you talked about the turnovers, and you know, I was watching the game, but also looking on Twitter, and I could kind of hear the sarcasm in some of your tweets. Yeah, I mean, I can almost guarantee after a turnover, the very next possession, if Appleby has the ball, and don't get me wrong, he makes some unbelievable plays, but it's like he's got the ball, he's going to dribble, and he's going to take the shot no matter what. You can almost – and it's sometimes Quez Glover was the same way. He goes driving in there, jumps, and has nowhere to go with the ball. Yep. And throws it right to them. So yep. it, you're right. The turnovers are killing this team. And let me ask you this, because they were talking about it. I want to say, do we have 11-man rotation going Saturday?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Looks like 10 because Osayo Sifo did not play.
Is that normal? Because I don't know normal rotations of basketball teams, but the announcers were talking about, you know, Florida plays a lot of players. Is that a bad thing that we play too many players?
I mean, he just holds these guys accountable. I think he'd like to play Sam a little bit more. But look at Sam's box score yesterday. He was 0-for-5. He took a couple.
I was going to ask you, has he made a 3-pointer all year? I can't remember him making one.
He has. I think he made 2 in 1 game, actually.
Okay.
He had a bad turnover, and one of the things we haven't talked about. This is not a good defensive team, Shane. I mean, there's too many blowbys in half court offense, and I mean, Scotty Lewis is an elite defensive player. It happens to him too. So I want to say they fell 17 spots defensively over 2 games. I think they're 57th now in defense. They fell 15 some spots after the, you know, just after that Georgia game in offensive efficiency, and you know, they had some pretty good numbers on that side. Turnovers. I mean, guys jumping in the air and trying to throw passes. I mean, I don't know how many times. I mean, since Mike White came on campus, it's a no-no. You can't do it. You get taken out of the game when you do that. Because there's not a lot of things that can happen unless you're Allen Iverson or something like that. When you're going up in the air and you're trying to get rid of the ball because you think your shot's going to get blocked or you're trying to evade a defense or something like that. You're in a very vulnerable position because you're usually flying out of bounds. That's what happened with Quez Glover on that play. Having said that, Quez Glover, I think with the exception of that play, had maybe his best game, that in the Tennessee game. He played really well. Other than that, you know, he's been really, really inconsistent, and he's made plays like that before. But go back to your point about the rotation. I think it was a smaller rotation. I think, you know, they had to be careful with Colin coming off COVID. They want Chitobo to play a little bit. He only played 2 minutes. So in essence, I mean, maybe it was a 9-person rotation. I mean, I'm looking at how was the other ministers? Sam only played 6. Quez had 18. That's probably as much as he's had any time. Omar Payne had 18 minutes and didn't take a shot. Grabbed 1 rebound. Need a little more out of that guy. In a game against Georgia where you really have a size advantage against them. Not a great game. But like a couple guys said after the game, it's better to be talking about all the things that you did wrong after you were able to win a game versus, lamenting everything that you did wrong after a game that you lost. But I mean, you got to put some of that away. You got to get better. You're going to go to Auburn. You just let Sevier Wheeler, a 5'10", guy scored 27 points on you and basically dice you apart in the half court, driving down the lane, kickouts and whatever. Now you got Sharif Cooper from Auburn you have to deal with, who's better and is probably a lottery pick. Sevier Wheeler went in that game averaging 7 assists a game. This guy's averaging 8.5 assists a game, and he can score the ball. He scores it NBA-style scoring, not Sevier Wheeler driving and and finishing around bigs and stuff like that. I don't know that guy's going to play in the NBA. I know Sharif Cooper is going to play in the NBA. He's got a he was a top 20, top 25 prospect. He had eligibility issues. He became eligible late in the season. I think his first game was this year was against Alabama. I think he scored 27 points in that game. So Auburn's not a great team right now. They don't have anything to play for other than trying to run the string out because they've already put themselves on self-imposed postseason ban because of some stuff going on in their program. But it's going to be a hard game. They're going to play fast. They're going to attack the basket, and they're going to do some things that Florida doesn't do very well against right now. So they got some cleaning up to do in the next 48 hours.
Yeah. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. February is your lucky month at Wrap Spot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. We're speaking with Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com here on the Titan Mar Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Chris, I want to ask you about Scotty Lewis. All the hype when he came in here, obviously he missed some games. I assume they were COVID related. We don't really know. A couple of weeks ago. I mean, from his mindset, just watching on TV from afar, it looks like he's being a good teammate. Whereas a guy like him with all the hype could pout and moan and bitch and complain. Am I seeing that correctly about him, even though he's not being able, he doesn't have a big role like he probably thought he would have when he was coming here?
Well, I mean, he should have a big role. I mean, he played 27 minutes yesterday. He was 1-for-6 with 4 turnovers. Yeah. Now, having said that, the coaches said it may have been one of his better games that he's had the last few weeks because he hasn't had very many good ones. You know why? Because he can't stay on the court. I think in the South Carolina game, he had in the first half, he had 2 fouls in 2 seconds. Okay. You're not playing the rest of the half when you have 2 fouls on this. Mike White does not play guys with 2 fouls in the first half. He just doesn't. I mean, there's a KenPom metric percentage that goes percentage a coach chooses to play a guy with 2 fouls in the first half. The Gators are next to last in the country, 343rd in terms of letting players play with two fouls. Anyway, he fouled out, I think, at Arkansas. He Alabama game, or I think it was the Kentucky game, he's in foul trouble. In fact, in 4 of Florida's SEC losses that Scotty Lewis did play in, he has 9 points. Okay, 9 combined. Yeah. They need more production out of him, without a doubt, but the only way he can get more production is if he's able to keep himself on the court. They talk about it all the time about this team is not very good at not fouling. That's something that's been a point of emphasis from early on in the season. They had a stretch where they seemed to be getting better at it. One of Scotty's best games in the last month came at West Virginia when he was able to stay on the floor a bunch and was able to use his skill as a perimeter defender. He's the best perimeter defender on the team. He did get beat yesterday, Saturday, by Katie Johnson for a late layup that was really uncharacteristic. But like I said, the coaches thought that he had he had one of his better all around games, even though he didn't score a bunch of points. I wouldn't be surprised, Shane, after that performance, the way this coaching staff tinkers with starting lineups, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him back in the starting lineup, maybe just to give him a chance to get that feeling what it's like to be out on the floor from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. But if he's out there from the very beginning, he can't be fouling from the very beginning. They stuck him in yesterday. He got a charge 51 seconds after he checked into the game yesterday. Now you're putting yourself in peril right out of the box.
Right.
They'll talk to him about it, and they'll see what they can do with about it. But like I said, I wouldn't be surprised you go to Auburn if Scotty Lewis isn't in the starting lineup. Don't hold me to it, but I think there may be a chance that happens.
But am I seeing it correctly? It looks like he still has a pretty good attitude for a guy who's not in the starting lineup with all that hype, not having the year that he wanted. He's still being a good teammate.
I think so. Right? He's on the sidelines. He's cheering. He's frustrated. Yeah. I don't think there's any doubt. And I think he's compartmentalizing that to some degree. If there's stuff going on in the locker room, I haven't heard anything about it. I don't think he's that way. He likes being the Gators. He likes these coaches. He likes his teammates. He just wants to be playing better than he is. And right. A lot of that is up to him. He's got a few more games left with this team. I think he has a chance to play at the next level. I don't know that he hasn't damaged his stock, but I can never tell with those guys. I mean, it's all projected anyway. But there's he'll be fine down the line. I think he's fine right now. But like I said, I just think he wants to be playing better than he is.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned a few minutes ago, we're at Auburn Tuesday night, at Kentucky on Saturday, and then come back home for senior night against the Missouri Tigers, who I think they're a very good basketball team. It's hard to figure them out.
They're a little they're Jekyll and Hyde-ish for sure.
Yeah. So there is talk about adding some of the games that have been canceled. So that would be between before the SEC tournament starts, I would take it.
Yes, there are no games scheduled for the last weekend of the regular season, the Saturday. So I don't know. I haven't. You could schedule one game Saturday. I don't think they'll do Friday, Sunday. But they have kept that weekend open. Now, Florida's lost three games in the SEC play. Texas A&M's lost a bunch. They're still in a pause. I've heard some buzz that, you know, Florida's lost. They lost a home game to Texas A&M. They lost a road game at LSU. They lost a road game at Tennessee. When the SEC sits down and decides who's playing who, they don't necessarily have to pick those games that you lost. They can mix and match depending on, you know, what's available and who needs to play who and that kind of thing. So they won't be held to previously scheduled games, from what I understand. So they may not know who they're playing until maybe that last week of the season. But all Florida needs to concern themselves right now is Auburn. And to your point, then they got to go to Kentucky, which all of a sudden is playing really, really well.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the standings right now, and the top four get, you know, a double bye. But have they had any talk in the SEC from the league office? Because not everybody's going to play the same amount of games. So let's say right now you got Alabama. They're obviously the one seed. Arkansas and LSU both sit at 9-4. And then Florida's at 7-5 and Tennessee's at 8-6. Mm-hmm. So let's just say if Florida was 8-6 and Tennessee was 8-6. So you got, how would they determine?
That's not going to happen though. They can't be. I mean, Florida's got two less games.
Well, I guess what I'm asking you is, how are they going to determine who are the four teams get the double bye if winning not percentage. Everybody's played the same amount?
Winning percentage.
Winning percentage, you think?
Yes. And you look at, if you look at Florida right now is alone, I believe, in fourth place.
Yes.
At 7-5. And while Tennessee is 8-6 and two games over 500, just like Florida, the winning percentage for Florida is better because they have the one less loss.
Okay. All right. And as of right now, I've had different people talk on my show. Some people think they should cancel all the conference tournaments so we guarantee March Madness happens. I disagree with that 100% because it's a way teams can increase their seeds, way they can get into the tournament. There's been no talks of canceling conference tournaments, especially the SEC, right?
I haven't heard anything about that. You're gonna cancel conference tournaments are big money makers. Not right. And I know they're not gonna have a bunch of fans in the stands at these games, but they get great viewership on these ESPN channels and ABC and CBS and all that shit. There would be no reason to do that because they're playing these games now. Why would they cancel the conference tournament games? You know,
no, I agree. I agree 100%.
I mean, they have the NCAA has its plan now to play the entire tournament in the Indianapolis metropolitan area.
What are the locations? Have they said what the locations are?
I haven't heard that, but I mean, knowing Indianapolis like I know it, I mean, obviously they'll play at Butler, they'll play at IUPU. I'm sure there's some junior colleges up there that maybe will have a game. I mean, they can play. I think old Market Square Arena. I don't know if that's still there anymore. Obviously, they'll play where the Pacers play. I mean, there's plenty of venues to play, but I wouldn't it be cool if they played like one in one of those high school gyms or something like that? That would be
Butler's gym is like a high school gym. I feel it's
really not though, because I was there last year.
Yeah,
and Gene Hackman didn't think it was like a high school gym because they had to measure it to make sure it was 10 feet.
Yeah, exactly.
Or looking all around.
Okay, so right now, how many teams from the SEC you think make the tournament?
I think if the bracketology things that I've been seeing, Shane, is the number is at six.
Yeah, because Ole Miss losing Saturday kind of hurts.
I was going to say, seems generous to me. That includes Florida, and you know, like we said, it's at Auburn, it's at Kentucky, it's home against Missouri. That's a tough way to finish the season. There's no givens here relative to the Gators, but obviously Alabama's in. Obviously LSU's in. I think obviously Arkansas's in. Is Tennessee a given? They played a pretty hard schedule. But I mean, if they're in, why wouldn't Florida be in? But like I said, there's a lot can happen still with three games left for all these teams.
Yeah, they really can.
And Missouri, which again, like I said, can't really figure them out. They got hammered by Georgia in the second half of that game. Hammered.
Yeah.
Which team is going to show up with Georgia?
So right now, talking NCAA tournament, would you take Gonzaga and give everybody else the field?
Gonzaga versus the field. I was having a conversation with Patrick Young. I was saying Gonzaga's playing chess. Everyone's playing checkers, it seems like, you know. That is one really, really good team. I think they tried to hype up the San Diego State and Gonzaga.
Yeah.
It's like a 40 or 50 point game, wasn't it?
Yeah, they dropped 100 and something on them. it was crazy.
Like anything else, we've been to March Madness before, and there's been the team that seems like the runaway favorite, and it doesn't always work out that way. And in this season of all seasons, the COVID NCAA tournament, I wouldn't be surprised if anything happened. I see now, you know, everyone's changed their minds. The Blue Bloods are apparently back after every single one of them won Saturday. Some beat some really good teams. A lot's going to happen in the next 3 weeks. And, we'll talk about it next time I come on.
Yeah. Last thing for you, Chris, before we let you go, you wrote a piece on Keyonte Johnson, for the people that didn't really haven't had a chance to read it, let them know where they can go find it and just kind of give us just a brief synopsis of what that was all about.
You know, I got to say, Keyonte Johnson has really handled this phenomenally. Obviously, he had not done any public interviews. His family has tried to keep things very private, Shane, especially as it pertains to his medical condition. And I didn't divulge a whole lot relative to that stance. But, you know, he was very candid about how thankful he is not only to be around his basketball team, but to be alive. He talked about a little bit about what it was like in the hospital, his first few days back, what it's been like, to coach the team. The above all takeaway from it, anyone who reads it though, is about, he wants to play again. He's hopeful to play again. A lot has to happen. A lot of tests have to be passed. A lot of exams have to be done, between now and the summer when he would ultimately be cleared. He can't do anything strenuous between now and then. I'm talking he's supposed to do yoga. He's supposed to do some stretching. He is allowed to do light, limited, stationary shooting. All that's good. But to see him bouncing around with the team, it's funny. After the game Saturday, Trey Mann was doing his post-game interview with the media, and Keyonte Zoom bombed it and said, "I got a question for you." So he was walking out of the O-Dome, and he just was all of a sudden on the Zoom call trying to interview Trey Mann. So I respect completely what he's gone through and how he's handled it, and the mature nature from with which he's approaching this. This is a guy who's grown up a lot since he got here a couple years ago, both as a basketball player and as a person. And I'm really happy for he and his family and just wish them nothing but the best.
Yeah. And that's an article still up on FloridaGators.com.
FloridaGators.com. They can find it there. There's a big picture of Keyonte. He's got a smile on his face, I'm sure, but he's masked up looking at the camera. It's a good picture.
Okay. Good stuff, Chris Harry. Appreciate it, my man. People can follow him on Twitter at GatorsChris. Be safe, and we'll talk to you on down the road.
All right. Take care, Shane. Thank you.
That's Chris Harry joining us on the Titan R Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Hey, folks, let me tell you about one of our new sponsors, GTEC Clean. Let me show you how it works.
G-Tech Clean is your complete germ protection. It's EPA approved to kill COVID-19 and kills 99.9% of all germs and viruses, black mold, and also deodorizes. It's the safest, affordable way to clean and sanitize your business, no matter if it's a gym, school, retail store, or office. Use it in your home, anywhere from the bathroom to the kids' room. It's formulated to provide 24/7 protection and is over 30 times more durable than any other cleaners. Try G-Tech at home as well.
G-Tech Clean. I use G-Tech Clean to keep my office, the studio, the podcast studio, free of any germs and viruses, and so should you. We're going to take our first time out of the program. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Johnny C. JC. We'll just talk about Gator baseball, basketball, and other sports around the world. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogre Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we're doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate, with premium brands like Bass Pro Shop, Nike, Sensei, Dave & Buster's, opening soon, Prime & Pearl, and coming spring of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. Now we're going to be joined on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline by JC, the Corn Dog.
Good morning, buddy. JC. Good morning. Yeah, it's good to be here bright and early on a lovely Monday morning and a big weekend of sports in the area. And I don't know, man, QB, I'm just thinking to myself, it's so great to see the Florida ballpark open and to watch the Florida Gators play Miami. But honestly, I have to say I'm a little disappointed in how it turned out, of course. And,
well, you know, They played 56 games.
I know, but it's Miami. It's the opening season. I know you go. It could have gone either way. They could have won three straight, or they went 1-2. Whatever it is, it could have gone 0-3. But I think that game Saturday night bothered me the most, the way it was lost. And then on Sunday, again, a lot of runs scored, probably more than Kevin O'Sullivan would want to see.
Well,
and that's just the way it is.
Well, Barco gave up, I think it was 4 runs in the first 2 innings, got down 8-0, and battled back. But look, it's a long season. Back. They're extremely talented. It's baseball. Oh, yeah. If anybody thought they were going to 56-0, they need to go check themselves.
No, there's no doubt. But they've owned Miami. I mean, they've had Miami's number, and that's a team that looked pretty good, Miami did. And as did Florida. I mean, both teams are going to be highly rated throughout the season. There's no question that they have the most talent, or a lot of talent on those teams. And I mean, did you see the UCF game? I guess it was either Saturday or whenever it was, the same guy hit 2 grand slams in the same inning.
I didn't see that.
The UCF player hit 2 grand slams. He had 8 RBIs in the same inning. So a lot of things can happen at this point in the season right now. We're only in February. So it doesn't really mean a whole lot to me, but yeah. I mean, it's crazy to me. But listen, it's okay, it's good to see them back out there on the field. These guys didn't get to play last year, QB, And here they are back at their run around, showing emotion, and fans were at the ballpark. I think it's all good. I wish they could have won the series, but they'll be fine.
They'll be fine. A couple things about the Florida ballpark. I'm curious, and I don't know if this was Scott Strickland or who decided why they call it Florida ballpark.
Well,
you have any idea?
Well, why don't you tell me if you know?
I don't. I'm asking. Because sometimes, hey, I'm going to head out to the ballpark. Well, I don't know. I feel like they need somebody's name on it.
Yeah. I tell you, let me think of a baseball player that I would say. Oh, Brad Wilkerson.
You want to call it Wilkerson Ballpark, Wilkerson Field, but he's still alive.
Yeah, he is. You can't memorialize the place because
I don't know. I guess I got to get used to it. Florida Ballpark just doesn't flow to me right now.
It doesn't.
It's a beautiful facility. Yeah. I was out there Saturday for a few innings, JC.
Yeah.
Here's my only complaint, and I'm probably the only human being that's going to complain about this.
Okay.
And I'm big on how things look around. Like when you look out from home plate to the outfield.
Yeah.
You know, on the other side of that road, I think what's the name of that road? It's not Museum Road. Whatever that road is. The road that goes between the softball and the baseball field right there. Mm-hmm. But on the other side, it's like a warehouse and some building. I wish they could plant some huge trees or something all the way around the back part. It would look a lot better.
It would look great aesthetically, but the fact that they were able to find land and put this place somewhere is a blessing in disguise.
I know.
You are, but it's okay. It's okay. Listen, it will develop. It will evolve. It will turn into the Florida home field. It will turn to a place that people realize that that's where the Gators play. And when you travel to Gainesville, oh, my God, you're going to that place. And I don't know what else to call the damn place. It's Florida Ballpark. I mean, it's Gator Field. What do you want to call it? Tell me what you want to call it, QB.
I don't know. I just got to get used to that name, I guess.
Okay.
Because, it's like Duty Noble Field. McKeithen Stadium. They're usually named after somebody. And
well, hey, write a check, QB. Write a damn check. We'll call it Matthews Field. Stadium. We'll call it something. What do you want to call it, QB? Write a check.
I'm just asking.
How about some of those friends here?
I don't know what made me think of that when I was there. And I was just like,
Hey, why don't you call up some of those friends of yours that you play golf with and get a check written? Come on.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that. All right, basketball. Basketball had a must-win game against Georgia.
I was happy to see it.
17-point win, but in the last 3 minutes.
Nice. Yeah,
was cut to a 6-point game. Chris Harry was on earlier in the show. Just said this team has trouble closing out and playing defense, and too many damn turnovers, which I agree 100%. But they're 11-6. They're firmly in the tournament. But the next three games are at Auburn, at Kentucky, home to Missouri, and then he says they're going to reschedule some COVID games before the SEC tournament.
As they should, including the game with Texas A&M probably.
Well, he doesn't know. He said on the show earlier,
okay,
it may not be the opponents where the games were canceled. The SEC can look at everybody and just say, hey, okay, Florida, you're going to go play Ole Miss again. All right. He doesn't know. They're going to put it all together and figure it out before the SEC tournament.
Well, what was good to me when I watched that game, QB, was the fact that they jumped out to an early lead. I think it was 20-8. And, they never trailed the entire game. So they dominated this game. They came out. They were driven. They knew what they had to do, and they played well. I think they were up 30-12 at some point. And, well, is that the halftime score? I don't know. But the point is that they were dominating that game throughout. And Castleton was good. I felt good about him. Look, Florida's going to go to Auburn, and they're going to play probably, if not the best player in the league, one of the best players in the league. Mm-hmm. And Auburn is a team that can jump up and bite you at any time, but they're also a team that can lose to anybody at any time. So this is another – I mean, look, they're all big at this point. And in the SEC, the Gators are fighting to get into this tournament, and I think the better the seeding they can get, the easier their path will be. And that means finishing this season strong and finishing this month strong. And I think it's looking good. You know, when I think of the Florida basketball team, I keep saying to myself, what would this team be like if Johnson hadn't had his his unfortunate health issues. And think about how good this team could have been. And when they talk about Mike White, they, you know, people seem to forget that they're playing without their best scoring player, and they are making do with what they have, and they're going to be good enough to make the tournament. If you make the tournament and you win your first game in the tournament, to me, it's always a successful season when your expectations are that of Florida's. Now, I'm not talking about Duke, North Carolina, Gonzaga, Kansas. I'm not talking about teams like that, but I'm talking about a team like Florida that if they get into the tournament, they win a game in the tournament, the rest of it is gravy. To me, it's a successful season. And usually the Gators get hot at this time of year when they make the tournament, and they make some headway, and they get people's attention. So you never know. If these guards get hot, they can do anything. But I just keep thinking to myself, what would this team have been like if they had Keyonte?
Yeah, I mean, they had a chance to have a really good year. They still do. I agree and disagree with your thoughts on what's a good year. As Mark Wise says, who's an ESPN basketball analyst, getting to the NCAA tournament is a huge success. So winning another game, just enjoy it. I want to mention, JC, when you listen to – I know you listen to the podcast on the days you aren't on. Yep. Do you listen to it on the – like there's 45 different platforms this show is on. So I want everybody to go like us, not like us.
Right.
We want you to follow us and subscribe to YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, Podbean, and the other 39 platforms.
Well, you just named about 39 platforms and 35 of which I don't know about, but Facebook always hits me early in the morning. You know, live broadcast is coming up on Facebook Live, YouTube, of course. But then when you get down to the Spotify's and the rest of them, that's great. Let those platforms do what they do. But I prefer to see our show on YouTube and Facebook, because I think those are the most widely watched platforms. And it seems to be very successful right now, because as we have seen our executive producer show us, we have numbers. And and that's the whole beauty of this thing. And we've been able to do this with Zoom. And if you remember, QB, and maybe it seemed like a long time to you, or maybe it doesn't seem like a long time to you, but we used to sit in a room literally a foot away from each other and do this show.
And just think, now you've had it, COVID. I haven't. So you probably would have gave it to me.
They told me I was a super spreader, because when I had it, I didn't even know I had it. So evidently I'm the reason why the entire state of Florida has gone to hell.
Yeah, take full responsibility.
Thank you.
Gymnastics wins again. They had a bunch of girls.
Oh, that's so good. They're so good.
But they had listen to my gymnastics Anyway, they had several of their starters out. If you have starters in gymnastics in their rotation, out with COVID. And the coach was out with COVID, Jenny. So
talking about gymnastics. Hey, look, it's okay, QB. Listen, the bottom line is Florida's a powerhouse. The SEC is a powerhouse. Georgia, LSU, Alabama, these teams are so good. And Florida is the best among them right now. And now listen, I think when you talk about gymnastics, it's kind of like track and field. You build yourself up to get to the postseason. And that's when it all comes together. So what happens in the regular season is nothing more than just creating a score for the final, you know, for the final part of the season. And Florida is right where they need to be. They're going to be in the top six. When you're in the gymnastics thing, you have to be in the top six. They call that the super six. If you're in the super six, you have a chance to win the national title. If you're not, you don't. So there you have
it. Well, the reason I brought it up is, like I said, they had several, quote, starters out. Some of these other girls had an opportunity to perform as they want. Yeah. Softball stays undefeated. They won the Bubbly Invitational here this weekend. Yeah. They got another good squad. I mean, it's like they should go.
I mean, he's a machine.
I want to get to this day in sports. This is a great one.
Let's
do
that.
I'm going to read it real quick. This day in sports brought to you by Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free annual maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchased, $199 value. Service department is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your convenience. Okay, this is perfect for you, JC. Do you know what happened in 1893 on February 22nd?
Two guys tried to shoot each other in the middle of town in some Western place.
No, no. The first Iron Bowl was played.
Oh,
and for really? Some reason they played in February. But Auburn War Damn Eagle beat Alabama 32-22 in Birmingham.
I'll be there. Well,
so take that.
It's okay. I think I can live with it. I can't believe that you actually figured that out and dug it up out of nowhere.
Well, that's what I do.
Well, there's no doubt you're a historian. But may I just move forward to the golf that I once again beat you at?
Well, hang on a second. Your guy did not win. Dustin Johnson was the highest ranked guy. So that's the first time you've done that this year.
Second time. I won it last week, QB. I had
okay. Well, I've won four times where my guys finish higher, and one guy. Won.
So I'm 2-4. You're 4-2, and I'm turning the tables.
Right.
That's two weeks in a row.
However, all of my guys made the cut.
Yeah, I only had two that made the cut, but the one that did finish. Now, I don't think Dan Berger played.
He didn't even play.
Right. So you picked the guy.
All three of my guys made the cut.
What does that tell our glorious audience that you would pick a guy that that's not even in the field? Well, what does that tell them?
Because here's what he probably did was he probably partied too hard after he won last week. And he said, to hell with it. I'm not going to play.
Yeah. I'm going to Florida. Well, listen, that tournament that when the wind started blowing, it was anybody's tournament. But, you know, thank God for Max Homa not losing that tournament, because that three-footer he missed, and I guess it was the 18th hole regulation.
Yes, to win.
I mean, and let's give it up to Tony Finau. Has there ever been a golfer who's finished in second place more than this guy? And and the fact that he had, eight birdies? Did he have eight birdies yesterday? I mean, I think he had eight birdies. He had six birdies in 12 holes. I mean, the guy was out of his mind good. And you know what? I'm going to pull up his numbers right now. He had a birdie on one. He doubled two. He bogeyed three. No, wait a minute. Excuse me. I beg your pardon. Let me start over. He birdied one. He birdied three. He birdied six. He birdied eight. He birdied 10. He birdied 11. His first bogey was on 15. So that right there is six birdies in the first 11 holes. And he birdied 16 and 17. My God. I mean, can you shoot any better and not win a tournament? And that it's a shame. Tony's going to win one of these days, but I really don't know when.
Like you said, give Max Homa credit, because he should have won missing a three-footer in regulation.
But then he goes
to the first playoff hole, and that second shot, when he was up next to the tree, where he hooded his sand wedge and got it on the green. Yeah. I didn't think he had I thought the match was over right there.
Well, listen, Max Homa shot a 66 in the final round. You do that, you shoot in the mid 60s, you always have a chance if you're close. And good for him. Now he's going to the Masters. Now he's got a 2-year exemption. His career is on the way. God bless. I mean, thank God he won. Because if he didn't win after missing that putt, who knows what he would be doing right now.
Make sure you go to PottOverShane.com. Hunt harder, baby.
Hunt harder. Why did he pick orange and black? I mean, is that what is that?
Well, you can wear this one out and while you go hunting, JC. Safety.
I know,
baby.
But why is it orange? Oh, orange and black.
Well, it's actually a black camo looking.
Well,
front. You can't tell.
I'll tell you what.
So anyway, we're not giving away the Hunt Harder hat, but we're going to give away a Chomp Harder hat if you go to PottOverShane.com. Just put your name in the hopper, and we choose that on Wednesdays. And on Thursdays, we give away the G-Tech Team Survival Kit. Okay, JC, a couple more things before we let you go here.
All right, let's go.
Alabama struggled, got squeaked by Vandy, who's playing a little bit better. But right now –
They got swept by Vandy?
Squeaked by.
Oh, Vandy. Squeaked by. Excuse me. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it was a close game. Tennessee – gets blown out at home by Kentucky, who now is 7-7 in the league.
I'm going to tell you right now, keep your eyes out for that team in the tournament.
Well, they're going to have to win the SEC tournament to get in.
They probably are, but they are capable of it.
No, there is no probably to it. They have a losing record.
Yeah, no, I know. But they're going to, well, okay, you're right. But they're going to have to, yeah, you're right. But they are capable of winning that tournament, QB.
That one, well, no, they are. They have to shoot. They're starting to shoot better. They're still not a great shooting team. But they put it on Tennessee.
They put it on Missouri. Knoxville. Knoxville.
Missouri had a big win on the road. Ole Miss, who was on the bubble, now they're like the first four out. You know, Joe Lunardi does it like the first
four. How did they lose to Mississippi State? I mean, that was just
well, a Mississippi shock. Mississippi State is, I think, the biggest team in the league. They're very athletic. They have trouble scoring at times. So I think that they're just a big, bad mismatch for
Ole Miss. Well, I'm going to give you a team right now that is that should be rated higher than they are. Outside of the SEC, in the national picture, that should be in the top 10, in my opinion. And that's a team that you will agree with. And to me, Florida State at 13-3 in the ACC. Those guys are no joke. They won 79-72 against Pittsburgh, who's a very capable team. But my goodness, if they can get it going at the right time, that's a team that can go far.
Yeah, they got a lot of length. Athleticism.
They're very athletic. Yes, they are.
They have
a couple
NBA players. Yeah. I agree 100% with that.
No doubt.
There was one other thing I had to.
Well, we got Auburn. We got Auburn on Tuesday night. So it's a quick turnaround. So this is, again, a game we talked about at the beginning of this segment that if they can keep that guard from going crazy, winning on the road is important for the resume and certainly will place them. You know, if they're going to be in the top five in the come tournament time, I think they're sitting pretty well. If they are pretty good, if they can win a couple games in tournament, I think they'll get it.
Well, before we let you go, JC, do you want us to give us a recap of the Australian Open?
Oh, QB, the way Djokovic handled Daniil Medvedev in the men's final was masterful. He won in straight sets. He is incredible. And as I correctly predicted on this podcast, a few days ago, Naomi Osaka dominated Jen Brady. And we knew this would happen. Naomi Osaka is 4-0 in major finals. And when she plays, she wins. And this is the next Serena. She is clearly the next Serena. She hits the ball as hard as anybody on the circuit. And as far as the men go, if Djokovic is healthy, nobody's beating him. It's just that simple.
Djokovic, I swear he's got to be like 35, 36.
He's getting up there, but man, the guy is playing out of his mind. And the only guy – now, here's what will happen. They'll go to the French Open next, and Nadal, because it's clay, will probably beat him because Nadal's won something like 11 French Opens because of the surface.
Isn't that so weird how some guys are so good on certain surfaces?
Yeah, it's kind of like Tiger at the Masters, isn't it, QB? So, I mean, it's just one of those things where, well, look, some courses fit certain players.
Right.
And when it comes to clay.
It's strange to me. You play on what? Clay. Then they got grass.
Clay or hard court.
Hard
grass at Wimbledon.
So you got three different surfaces. And you would think the number one player in the world could handle all three surfaces. But it's just the way the ball bounces.
I don't know why
it's strange.
I don't know why Nadal is the greatest of all time on clay, but he is. There's no question about that.
I wonder whoever thought about, let's go play tennis on some clay and let's try playing on some grass.
Well, Wimbledon has always been on grass.
I mean, know that, but I mean, who came up with it, I wonder?
Well, you know, back in the 1800s when they were playing tennis, that's what they did in England.
Yeah, no hard courts back in those days.
No, they didn't have a cement truck. But I'll tell you that the Osaka is the number one women's player in the world. Djokovic is the number one men's player in the world. But when they go to the French Open, Nadal will be the favorite because it's obvious why. It's history there. But good for Osaka. I really like Naomi Osaka. She's just amazing. She's so good.
Is she ranked number one in the world?
I think she probably – it's either her or Selena.
That's probably why you like her. That's probably why you like her.
No, it's just because, look, she's won four major – she has been in – every time she's played in a final of a major, the woman has dominated. And she sounds like a 70-year-old who just got a prom date. She is so funny to listen to. She's so young. She's so nice. And she plays like an animal on the court. She's so good. And she beat Serena at Serena's own game in this Australian Open. And she's got four majors now. And she's, I don't know, barely 22 years old, 23 maybe. So watch out for this name, Naomi Osaka. She's going to win a lot of majors.
All right, JC, go work on your forehand and your backhand. All right, baby. We'll get that report how it's going on Wednesday. Be safe, my man.
All right, you got it. Thanks, Bo.
All right, we're going to take our second time out of the program here. We come back, we're going to wrap up this Monday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Neapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Darshakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to this Monday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Center State Bank, we put business first. We're the largest community bank in the state of Florida. Understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has four convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank, member FDIC. I want to thank Chris Harry from FloridaGators.com. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter at Gators Chris. Also, make sure you go check out his article he wrote with about Keontae Johnson. It's outstanding. I want to thank JC for joining us also. But again, folks, go to YouTube and subscribe and follow us, and go to any of these other Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and follow us on those platforms as well as here on Facebook. Tomorrow's show, you ain't going to want to miss it. Got Buddy Martin. Obviously, it's Tuesday, so it's Buddy. But also we're going to have Mike Peterson, maybe one of the best linebackers to ever play at Florida that people don't talk about. Long, long NFL career, been coaching, still at South Carolina now after the coaching change, coaching linebackers. But we're going to talk to Mike Peterson, see what he's up to, how he's enjoying coaching and all that good stuff. Also, make sure you go to potupwithshane.com, put your name in the hopper for a Chomp Harder hat and also for a G-Tech Clean survival kit. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by Rap Spot. Be safe out there, folks. See you tomorrow.
So I'd like to ask all the guys that play for the head ball coach, I know you got some stories. You got a Coach Spurrier story for us?
A whole lot of them, man. Spurrier, he's probably my favorite coach ever. And he just a straight down to earth guy. I mean, extremely funny. Extremely funny. He kept us laughing. The biggest story would be like Spurs, the one that got me going by the name, got me going by Jabbar. Because in high school and growing up, my name is Derek. My first name is Derek. And I got to Florida and he started calling me Jabbar. And next thing you know, it's Jabbar Gaffney. And no Derek Gaffney. And he had his little switched up on it. And Started calling me Jabber and Jab, and those still some of my nicknames that some of the former players and just people everywhere call me now because everybody done heard it. So I get called Jab all the time, and that all started with Coach Spurrier, the old ball coach.
That's funny. Yeah, that's typical him. There's no question about it.
First and 10. Matthews, near side, wide open, Alonzo Sullivan. He may go. Touchdown, Gators.